All right, then. Wednesday, 5 p.m. Time for American Hit Radio on WHPC 90.3. I'm the host for the next hour. My name is Tom Ryan. With me, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, manning the board, so also my engineer, making my job very easy today.
I try.
And, of course, what we tend to do here on Wednesdays, for the past few years anyway, we've been looking at entire albums, just playing albums, with the purpose being fairly simple. I love turning on to, well, I love playing albums that are great. It's just a fun thing to do. Sometimes we play very popular albums. I imagine that there are some people that aren't familiar with them, even when we play the popular albums.
Yes, and the top 40 albums.
Right. It's half of what we're doing, because half of our list is...
versus the alternative.
Exactly.
Top 40.
Got 500 albums on a list, which comes from the top 40, which is the popular albums, more or less. The 500... alternative top 40 stuff is albums that have not been popular in their time, but still have some lasting power. Today is definitely one of the latter. In fact, well, we've been playing albums from November of 1969 for about 5 or 6 weeks now. It was quite a month in terms of like albums that are classic or at least great. I've had them all arranged from like number one down. So like when we played like Abbey Road, for example, that might have been, you know, the number one album. But now we're going to play an album that did not chart from that same month of November 1969. It's by an artist called Scott Walker. You might say who. And the album is simply called Scott Four. To introduce this, I'm going to read what I wrote about this. A few months back, because Scott Walker was a late discovery for me as well. If you don't know it, it's not too surprising that you wouldn't, because he's fairly obscure. His career is basically, he's never really been incredibly popular in this country. But, well, here's what I wrote. It is so strange that Scott Walker's best album is the same album that almost killed his career. Then again, just about everything about Scott Walker's career is strange. With no hyperbole intended, his may be the most incredible career arc by anybody ever. Walker was born as Noel Scott Angle and raised in America, but he was virtually unknown here as an artist. He started as a child actor and singer, performing as a preteen, which led to an unsuccessful attempt at singing whitewashed rockabilly and pop music. Having failed at attempts to become the next Bobby Rydell, Walker next found session work as a bass guitarist, which led to a stint as a member of the California-based instrumental act called the Routers, a band that specialized in music inspired by pep rallies.
Weird.
Really weird. A few regional hits resulted, and he even toured as a member of the Safaris for a while. Ooh, Wipeout. Which caused him to meet another teenaged singer named John Mouse, who used the stage name John Walker as a ruse to perform in nightclubs. Angle, meaning Scott Walker, decided to join with Mouse, a.k.a. Walker, and changed his own last name in kind. By adding drummer Gary Leeds, a.k.a. Walker, the Walker brothers came to life, and they quickly decided to follow current trends and relocate to swinging London, a move that proved to be quite fortuitous. Within a year, they became one of the UK's hottest acts. The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore became a number one hit in the UK and even rose to number 13 in America. It was the only chart entry by Walker, either solo or with his quote-unquote brothers. As the lead vocalist on their biggest hit, Scott Walker enjoyed huge success in England, and eventually he started a solo career. Okay, so by now you're probably thinking, okay, that may be a little weird, but it isn't crazy weird. Well, hold on.
Hold your horses.
Walker's solo career featured a distinct change of style with wildly dramatic, self-penned compositions fleshed out with a healthy dose of Jacques Brel's influence. The Brits ate it up and gave Walker three massively successful albums, all of which went unheard in the States. In 1969, his fourth solo disc was a tepid affair, consisting of material more suitable for Jack Jones or Andy Williams, but even that sold well. Walker sensed that he was becoming complacent, though, so he worked hard for his next album, writing every song himself and incorporating imaginative production ideas on some wildly creative material. Every song on Scott 4 captures a gifted vocalist performing in a style that was thoroughly unique. The arrangements were meticulous, and the vocal performances superb. It was certainly his best work to date, and yet it flopped. Miserably. It didn't even chart in England. With managers and producers chiding him for his failed attempt at creativity, Walker sank to the role of a puppet, performing cover versions of hackneyed material. He churned out a series of uninspired albums, but beneath the surface, something was changing, and drastically. Out of something akin to desperation, the Walker Brothers reformed to modest success, but by 1978, a new Scott Walker emerged. The group's final album featured three sets of songs by each member, but Scott's songs sounded as if they were beamed in from another planet. His writing style had evolved so much that he eclipsed even the pop avant-garde of the times. David Bowie became a huge fan and even covered his material. Meanwhile, Walker continued evolving, getting further and further away from the mainstream. His releases were sporadic and slow in coming, with each subsequent release proving to be more challenging than its predecessor. The albums were like a series of recurring nightmares, with each subsequent album even more frightening than its predecessors. For example, by 2006, a film about Walker's shape-shifting career showed contemporary footage of him directing a classical percussionist on the correct way to punch a pig's carcass for maximum sonic impact. In toto, his career is like watching Frankie Avalon grow into a cross between John Cage and Marilyn Manson. This, however, is a story of a different time and another album. Here, we celebrate the more accessible side of Scott Walker's peculiar genius. Hopefully, it will intrigue you enough to discover some of the facets of his latter-day work, because there is no other like him. The first song up on the album, Scott 4, is called Seventh Seal, naturally the title taken, and the song inspired by the Ingmar Bergman film of the same name. You already will hear some of Scott's strangeness creeping into his work here.
Anybody seen a knight pass this way? I saw him playing chess with death yesterday. His crusade was a search for God, and they say it's been a long way to carry on. Anybody hear of plague in this town? The town I've left behind was burned to the ground. A young girl on a stake, her face framed in flames, cried, I'm not a witch, God knows my name. The night he watched with fear, he needed to know. He ran where he might feel God's breath. And in the misty church, he knelt to confess. The face within the booth was Mr. Death. My life's a vain pursuit of meaningless miles. Why can't God touch me with a sign? Perhaps perhaps there's no one there. And sat the booth, and death hid within his cloak and smiled. This morning I played chess with death, said the knight. We played that he might grant me time. My bishop and my knight will shatter his flanks, and still I might feel God's heart in mine. And through confession's grill, death's laughter was heard. The knight cried, "No, you've cheated me." But still I'll find a way, we'll meet once again, and once again continue to play. They met within the woods, the knight, his squire and friends, and death said, "Now the game shall end." The final move was made, the knight hung his head and said, "You've won, I've nothing left to play." The minstrel, filled with visions, sang to his love to look against the stormy sky. The knight, his squire and friends, their hands held as one, solemnly danced towards the dawn. His hourglass in his hand, his scythe by his side, the master death, he leads them on.
The opening track from the album entitled Scott Four. It's called Seventh Seal. Scott Walker is the artist. As I said, he was in about 1965 when he had that big hit, "The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore." You know.
Yes.
And that was him on the lead vocals, and that actually, like I said, it even managed to be a hit over here in the States. But I don't think that most Americans know anything more about Scott Walker than that single song. And here it is now, maybe about 4 years after that, and you can hear that he had this weird progression that almost pushed him to an area where you didn't know if he was going to be trying to appeal to kids or to your parents. He kind of walked that line for a little bit until he really went off the deep end, and then he decided to almost appeal to nobody except himself. He was definitely a visionary, and he had a unique idea about what it is that he wanted to do. And he wasn't really concerned. I mean, although he was incredibly popular for his first few albums, this album is him basically stopping in terms of even caring.
It's a signpost.
Yeah, this is definitely like a signpost album. He released it under his own name, which is another thing that might have hurt the sales. If he called it, you know, the album was basically by Noel Scott Angle, they're like, "Well, this doesn't sound like the Walker Brothers. It's not even, you know, Scott Walker." You know, a lot of people might not have even recognized it. Eventually, the album did go out of print for a very long time. But like these things, like I say, good music never really dies. It has a way of coming back. And this album, like basically, there's enough people that loved it, people like David Bowie, that it developed an interest for people to rediscover it. So when it was re-released, this time they had the common sense to say it was a Scott Walker album. And I believe it's still available now. I think that now, because of this crazy arc of his career, there is interest in his work, even if it is mostly among the avant-garde. If you heard some of his latter-day stuff, you wouldn't believe it. But let's move through Scott Foran. I think you'll basically find some of the stuff very intriguing and interesting. This next track is called, well, go to On Your Own Again, and we'll segue that into World's Strongest Man.
Wasn't it a good year? Wasn't filled with talking. It still moves through my heart from time to time. City after city, granite gray as morning. Heroes died in subways, left behind, far behind, like our love. You're on your own again, and you're your best again. That's what you tell yourself. I see it all the way, as far as anyone could see. Except when it began, I was so happy, I didn't feel like me. Didn't you know that I'm not the world's strongest man when it comes to you and your world? I'm long lost. Can't you see the towers of my naked shine like a dime? Take me back again to your warm design and again. Again, again, longing for belongings here again. And I need your laugh, you know I can't pretend anymore. And didn't you know that I'm not the world's strongest man when it comes to you and your world? I'm long lost. Can't you see the towers of my naked shine like a dime? Take me back again to your warm design. Da 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 da.
I got to say, I mean, I didn't hear it at first, but as I've gotten familiar with Scott Walker's work, I can hear the Bowie influence all over it. There's so much of the way, the style, when Bowie sings with that baritone thing, when he...
You can hear where, not Bowie's influence on this, but...
Vice versa.
Yes,
how Bowie is
was influenced.
Deeply influenced by Scott Walker. And there's so much of his material. Even Bowie's like strange slant on melody seems to be Walker inspired. And I was a big Bowie fan, so it was a hard thing to, when I heard this, to actually make the connection. And when I did, it made me think of Bowie in a different light. Like, oh, he's coming from that sort of a place. I just, you know, everybody gives Bowie credit for like basically inventing these characters from whole cloth, as though whatever he did was totally the product of his own imagination, 100%. And it's the type of thing that you begin to, when you listen to this deeply enough and you start hearing the Bowie in it, that facade begins to fade away. And you realize that just like anybody else, Bowie was a human being who had influences that he incorporated into his own work. And Scott was one of the biggest by far, to my mind anyway. This is his fourth solo album, thus the title. Actually, it was his fifth, because there was an album that came out just before this that was based upon a collection of songs from movies or soundtrack stuff that from a TV special that he did, which was not particularly successful. It was one of the, I mean, it did reasonably well, but it wasn't a Scott Walker album per se. The albums that are called the Scotts, Scott 1, Scott 2, Scott 3, Scott 4, that's how we released them, are all very interesting and worth hearing. And you hear the progression of how he begins to basically move away from pop music and into something which is much more unique, like the tracks that we're hearing here. Let's keep going. Next up on what would have been side one, of course, on the LP, is this track called Angel of Ashes.
The angels of ashes will give back your passions again and again. Their light shafts will reach through the darkness and touch you, my friend. They'll fly in a mind dance and blind you with wings wrapped in flame. If you're down to an echo, they just might remember your name. In the unbroken darkness, where emptiness empties alone, there's no starting or stopping, where there is no right or no wrong. Well, that's all right for some who can hang the absurd on their wall. If your blind hands can't grope through these measureless waters, you fall. You've been following patterns and fleeting sensations too long. And the fullness that fills up the pulse of durations is gone. Let the great constellation of flickering ashes be heard. Let them burn with a fire. All it takes to confess is a word, just a word.
I can recommend angels. I've watched as they've made a man strong, oh so strong. If your humbleness shows, then I'm sure that they'll take you along. Mm-hmm. You can tell them who sent you. It might help to get you above. You can say that he laughed and he walked like Saint Francis with love.
It's a strange place for a pop star to end up. When you think about how the other acts from the British invasions had matured and turned into something more akin to, I guess, being a part of the hippie movement eventually. I think, you know, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones are obviously excellent examples. When you think about, like, you know, the early Mop Top days becoming what would eventually be like the Beatles around Abbey Road or the White Album, or even the Rolling Stones, say, around Beggar's Banquet or Let It Bleed. Scott went in this direction, making music that almost suggests easy listening.
Yes.
You know, like what you could imagine. Something, if these songs were like written by others, if Scott was like doing cover songs, this could be something that your parents might be listening to, like a Jerry Vale record or something, because he does have an incredibly clear voice. Lots of his diction is excellent, so he sings in a way that seems almost old fashioned, but his songwriting, don't forget, these are all his, so it's really hard to compare him to anybody. Because as he's doing this, you know, he's basically, he's progressing in a direction that is really thoroughly unique from his contemporaries. Nobody else went in this way. And we did not know when he was doing this, that this was really just the beginning of an odd change. I mean, his career is really something to behold. We'll see if we have time to play an extra track at the end of the show. But meanwhile, let's play one more track now from the album Scott Four. From November of 1969, an album that did not chart at all here in America and didn't do very well in England either, although it is now looked back upon as being perhaps one of his masterworks, Scott Four. This track is called Boy Child.
A boy child rides upon your back. Take him away through mirrors dark and blessed with cracks. Through forgotten courtyards where you used to search for you. Old gets a new life. Reach out, you can touch, it's true. He's not a shadow of shadows like you, you see. Hearts hold on holding. If you stay one, you'll stay free. Go seek the lady. Not take away. Naked with stillness on the edge of dawn she stays. Night starts to empty. That's when her song begins. She'll make you happy. she'll take you deep within. Window lights for wanderers hide hard in your swollen eyes. Echoes of laughter hide in the city's thighs. Can it cost to give a boy child back his sight? Extensions through dimensions leave you feeling cold and lame. Boy child mustn't tremble, 'cause he came without a name.
Wow. I mean, I'm just saying, this is just so out of left field. And if you're thinking, imagine, this is 1969 now. So I guess one aspect of saying, like, well, duh, it didn't sell. I mean, it's
so incongruous
with the
times. Yeah,
there's nothing like this. There's nothing on this album that smells like marijuana. You know what I mean? Everything about it. You could say that, you know, is it square? Is it like just out, so out of the box that it's, you know, hip? It's really hard to nail down.
I would not say it's hip.
See, to me, like underneath it all, I kind of like feel as though I would say I know it is, because of the fact that if you're doing this and you have somebody like David Bowie, like hanging on every syllable, it's got to mean something. There's something that's going on that if you really listen to this album enough, the ingenious use of melody that he's got. These songs really don't sound like anybody else.
True.
And the maturity of the subject matter of his songs is incredible. You'll notice that there's almost no redundancy. It's not like he has a verse and a chorus, then a verse, and then back to the chorus, then an instrumental break, back to the chorus, and the song is over. He's writing songs with really incredibly deep themes that you need to hear maybe a few times for the flow of the melody to open up to you. And that for the meaning of the song to begin to sit in. And some of them are based on literature, which makes it very difficult to even determine what it is that he's singing about. But there's no doubt that he's a very mature writer and doing things that are very much against the grain of his time. These next two songs are among my favorites on the album. And again, in some ways related. The first one is called Hero of the War. And that's going to be followed with a song called The Old Man's Back Again. Now, here's an example of what I'm talking about. The subtitle for The Old Man's Back Again, or actually, it says that it is dedicated to the neo-Stalinist regime. In other words, he wrote a song called The Old Man's Back Again, which is essentially about the Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia. Now, how come everybody didn't write a song about that? You know, it's such an obvious theme for a pop song. But this is what, you know, where Scott was going. And you say, okay, it might not be a love song like you'd get in a pop music. Or like I said, it might not be a song about psychedelic drugs. But his mind is working in very unusual ways on this record. So like I said, first track up is going to be Hero of the War. And then you'll hear that song about the Warsaw Pact invasion of Czechoslovakia called The Old Man's Back Again.
He's a hero of the war.
All the neighborhood is talking about your son. Mrs. Riley, get his medals, hand them round to everyone. Show his gun to all the children in the street. It's too bad he can't shake hands or move his feet. He's a hero of the war. You can see his picture in the local news. Mrs. Riley seems a girl next door is nowhere to be found. Once you couldn't keep that whore from hanging round. Never mind, dear, you're with your mom once more. He's a hero of the war. Like his dad who gave his life for war before. It was tragic how you almost died of pain when he was born. With no husband there beside you through it all. Ring the bell if you get hungry or you fall. You're a hero of the war. Why those teardrops on your cheek, it's so absurd. Feeling empty, it's the emptiness of heroes like your son. And what made him leave his mother for a gun? Driven forward, driven back, and nothing more. He's a hero of the war. I've seen a hand, I've seen a vision. It was reaching through the clouds to risk a dream. A shadow crossed the sky and it crushed it to the ground just like a beast. The old man's back again. The old man's back again. I seen a woman standing in the snow. She was silent as she watched them take her man. Teardrops burned her cheeks, for she thought she'd heard the shadow had left this land. The old man's back again. The old man's back again. The crowds just gathered, their faces turned away, and they queue all day like dragons of disgust. Older women whispering, wondering just what these young hotheads want of us. And Andre V, he cries with eyes that ring like chimes. His anti-worlds go spinning through his head. He burns them in his dreams. For half awake, they may as well be dead. The old man's back again. I see he's back again. I see a soldier, he's standing in the rain. For him there's no old man to walk behind. Devoured by his pain, bewildered by the faces who pass him by.
he'd like another name. The one he's got's a curse, these people cry. Why can't they understand? His mother called him Ivan, then she died. The old man's back again.
I think the other thing that really impresses me about him is that...
Is his scatting?
Well, yeah. I mean, he goes into... Well, I was going to say, there's a fearlessness about him. He's afraid of nothing, it seems. Like, yeah, I'll go there. I'll do that. That is one of my favorite songs on the album, The Old Man's Back Again. But I mean, the string arrangement on that is just stunning.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's fantastic. And that is a song that actually does have a melody that he returns to whenever he sings the title line. And it kind of gives me goosebumps. It's just like there's something incredibly evocative. And that's the other word I would use regarding his music, is it's so evocative that, I mean, his themes might be very strange. You don't have to know anything about the neo-Stalinist regime, for example, to enjoy that song. Just that there are very interesting characters. It's like that he's creating and that he's somehow basically personalizing this instance of history that you can listen to. It's just a song about the people.
Images that just paint a picture through words.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite remarkable. I mean, this is what the reason why I picked this album in particular, because his career is quite varied and there's a lot that I could pick, but I was like, I said, I got to give this guy some, you know, his due. Somehow with, you know, with this program, because he's just incredible. And I know that you, Heidi, I think I sort of terrified you when I started to get into him a little bit.
Oh, some of the lighter stuff's really tough.
It's really, really.
But it's not bad. It's just kind of scary the first time you hear it, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like it's really is like going into a nightmare world eventually,
yes.
Sort of. And then when you start going through his entire career, I was like, this is kind of stunning. There are a couple of different documentaries about his life. I can't remember the name of them, but I'm sure that if you looked for them, you'd be able to find them. And
I know we watched them.
They are. I'm telling you, you will be. You just won't believe it when you see how this guy's career progressed. How he went from being a pop star to being like one of the most avant-garde performers of our time is amazing. Well, let's get back to this album from Scott. Oh, before I do that, let me do this. I want to basically mention in about 15 minutes. Classic Countdown is coming up with Zach Turkell. Zach spends his hour doing something fairly cool. He finds basically songs from the Billboard Hot 100. He usually plays like the top charting songs for an anniversary show from this very week. He just pulls up a specific chart. I believe that today is going to be 1986.
Yes.
Fantastic. So yeah, Zach's in here now. So stay tuned after our show. You can hear some cool pop songs from 1986 on Zach's show. And who knows what year it might be next week. It's kind of cool the way he bounces around with that. All right, then, back to Scott Four. Next track up on the album is a song, another winner. This is called Duchess.
It's your bicycle bells and your Rembrandt swears, your children alive and still breathing, and your look of lost when you're coming across makes me feel like a thief when you're bleeding. Duchess, Duchess, light up your candles for me. Duchess, Duchess, put all your love back in me. I come listening, I touch, touching with the Persian sea running through your veins. You shed your names with the seasons, still they all return with their last remains, and they lay them before you like reasons. With your shimmering dress that says no, that says yes, that says I've nothing left for concealing. It's your shiftless flesh and your old girl's grace. It's your young girl's face that I'm breathing. Duchess, Duchess, light up your candles for me. Duchess, 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 put all the love back in me. I'm lying. She is crying. It's the signs as we see them. There's no thresholds at all. There's no vows to be broken as we rise or we fall. There's no noise high above us as the moon turns in space. Just the face of a lady who we loved for her grace. Get behind me, get behind me. Won't you bend my ear again? I really need a friend. Get behind me, get behind me. Remind me to remind me not to go back there again. When the threads of dark moments start to tremble with sound, and an almost formed whisper dies, the boundaries surround. We keep reaching beyond us through the shape-shifting clouds. Wide eye like you, brother, so electric, so proud. Get behind me, get behind me. Oh, won't you bend my ear again? I really need a friend. Behind me, behind me, behind me, behind me. Remind me to remind me and not to go back there again. Set us free of this fear, so we'll be once again, so we won't feel the gravity of time. And the face in the faces of the loves we move through reappears in original design. Get behind me, get behind me. Won't you bend my ear again? Lord, I really need a friend. Get behind me, get behind me. Remind me to remind me and not to go back there again. But tweet and tweet out and tweet out and bye. Do-da-do-dee-da-dee. Tweet out and tweet out and bye.
what might perhaps be the most close, the song that's closest to rock and roll on the album. That track there, Get Behind Me. You can maybe hear some of his
The fuzz tone guitar.
Yeah, there's like kind of like I would say American influences in a sense there too. Well, he is an American. Well, you know, he was an American, who eventually became an English citizen. Thus, you know, why and that's basically the lack of his anglicized or whatever you want to call like that type of singing. It's just not him. He's got an American voice. He sounds like an older. He sounds a lot older than his age. He's 26 here.
He's got a mature voice for sure,
and the style is as well. Well, we got one more song from the album to play. I want to play it quickly because I'd like to end with at least a taste of his latter day stuff. So here's the last track from the album, Scott Ford. This is called Rhymes of Goodbye.
I've come far from chains, from metal and stone, from makeshift desires. I'm seeking a star to grab for the truth, to keep myself warm. I turn and it's gone, you smile and it's born. The rhymes of a woman's a river that never ends. The rhymes of dimension surrounds us with fire and friends. And roaring through darkness, the night children fly. I still hear them singing the rhymes of goodbye. There's nothing within, but within says a voice that's still my empire, and I've got a choice. It's heedless of death, it's still got a fire, and I'll keep it burning with hands of desire. The bells of our senses can cost us our pride, can toll out the boundaries that level our lives, can slash like the sunlight through shadows and cracks. Our nakedness calling, our nakedness back. The rhyme of our passions find beauty in loving love. The rhyme of our madness burns cities and push and shoves. And roaring through darkness, the night children fly. I still hear them singing the rhymes of goodbye.
All right, then. There you have one of my favorite albums released by Scott Walker. Not the only one that I love, though. And there's a little bit of time left, so I've been talking about this crazy arc of his career. I'm going to play what I can of one track off of an album entitled Tilt. Appropriately named. Came out, I believe, around 1995 or thereabouts. This track is called Farmer in the City. It gives you a taste of just how much he changed in that amount of time. Take care, everybody. Have a great remainder of the day. And hope you can catch me again on Friday. Bye-bye.
21, 21, 21. I'll give you 21, 21, 21. Do I hear 21, 21, 21? I'll give you 21, 21, 21. This night you are mistaken. I'm a farmer in the city, dark farmhouses against the sky. Every night I must wonder why. Harness on the left nail keeps wrinkling and wrinkling. Then higher above me is mistaken.